Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for All Saints Lutheran Church. I am Matthew Reese, the Director of Music Ministries. All Saints is located in Davenport, Iowa, and is a member congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Each week, we bring you a recording of the gospel lesson and sermon. Thank you for joining us on this journey of faith.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, beginning with the 15th chapter at the first verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them a parable. He said, "There was a man and he had two sons. And the younger son said to his dad, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So the father divided his property between the sons. And a few days later, the son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And when there, he squandered his property in desolate living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Well, he would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything to eat. Finally, he came to himself and he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have better enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and I'll go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer to be called your son, but treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. And while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the slaves, 'Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, but is alive again. He was lost, but is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the older son was out in the field. And when he came home and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the slaves and asked, 'What's going on?' And the slave replied, 'Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then the older son became angry and refused to go into the house. And his father came out and began to plead with him. But he told his dad, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet here you have never, and you've yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this parable of the prodigal son, probably one of the best known and often best liked stories in the Bible. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the philosopher from Concord, Massachusetts in the 19th century, called it the greatest story in the Bible, whether in the Bible or out of the Bible, and Charles Dickens, the novelist, agreed. So along with the parable of the Good Samaritan, it's surely one of the most recognized stories that our Savior Jesus told. It's aged well. We still can get something out of it today. And I've thought about this story, and I said, what is it that makes this one so memorable? It's not simply that it's a good story, because it is, but it's because we can relate to it. We can hear that story and see ourselves. Think about it. I doubt there's a person here who fails to identify with at least one of the characters in the story, either the foolish, selfish son, the forgiving father, or the hard-working, resentful, or older brother. So I'm challenging you right now. Which of these three characters, pause for a moment and think, who do I identify with in this story? On some levels, we can relate to it. If we give it some thought, we might even conclude that we've been all of these characters at one point or another during our own lives. So let me give you a brief recap of the story. As it begins, a man's younger son demands to be given his share of his father's inheritance. Sort of a crass thing to do. Something along the lines of, I wish you were dead, but since you're not, I want what's coming to me before you die. It's a presumptuous act. And it goes against the norms of family and religion and society. And so what does the father do when he hears this? Well, he does what his son asks. He gives him all of his inheritance. And once the son gets it in his pocket, well, he leaves home for a distant country. And when he gets there, he just spends it all, squanders everything that's been given to him on what we would call desolate living or worse. The details of that I leave to your own imagination. But then, as fate would have it, a famine strikes the land. And those among us who long for justice might think, well, I think this son is getting what should be coming to him. So without any money, family, or resources, he discovers that he has to do something pretty demeaning for someone who, in this case, is a Jewish person. He has to go herd pigs to survive. In Jewish tradition, pigs are an unclean animal. And what's more, because they were used for sacrifices in Roman and Greek worship, pigs were associated with paganism and apostasy. So in other words, not only was he a rotten son, but he wasn't a very good Jew either. In truth, it's difficult to imagine that someone could fall much lower than he does here. Yet as bad as it seems, the young son, well, he's not completely lost. He realizes he may have forfeited his claim to his father, but if he can simply manage to get back home, he can ask his dad, or at least let him become a hired hand. So the young man repents, and he confesses his sin against God and his father, and he heads home. In the meantime, the father's awaits the possibility that maybe this wayward son will someday return. And as soon as the father sees the young man approaching him, he's filled with compassion, runs to him, an unusual act for a dignified, elderly Jewish fellow. And tradition would have held that the tradition has it that the father probably should have remained seated or standing where he was so that the son could come to him under the circumstances. So in this situation, the father's act was extraordinary. And perhaps to the listeners, that means you and me, unseemingly, he embraces and kisses his son as an act of forgiveness. And it's worth noting that the father does this before the son can say anything to him in a way of a confession. The father embraces his son before he hears an apology, which we would certainly say he deserved. And in celebration for this long-awaited homecoming, a fatted calf is killed and rejoicing begins. Well, now our story shifts and turns to the older brother who's out in the fields, and he hears the sounds of celebration as he comes back working after a long day. And can we blame him when he hears that he's angry? When he learns that the reason for the festivities and he refuses to go in and take part? Because really, ask yourselves, how would you have felt if you'd been in his shoes? The father goes out of the house to welcome his elder son and pleads with him to come in. But this son, with great bitterness, asks why such a party was never given for him. And here's the thing, this older brother, he's right, isn't he? In almost every possible way, he's right about his brother, about himself, about his ridiculously permissive and forgiving father. However, the father does not rebuke his elder son for the resentment he has. Instead, he tells him this, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. This father has compassion for both of his sons and extends mercy to them equally. So now we draw this parable closer to ourselves. What does this parable say to you and me? And how do we live the truth out? The message, I believe, is pretty clear. What Jesus says to us is this: God is unwilling to lose anyone, any of us, period. And you think about it, that's pretty heady stuff. The biggest challenge for us is wrapping our minds around the unfathomable grace and acceptance that this father lavishes on his two boys, on both of them. And in a way, it stands 180 degrees opposed to the message that we receive in the world in which we live. The message that tells people they should only get what they deserve. It's worth mentioning how this plays out in our own faith. Though it is seldom used, the Episcopal Church has a book of common prayer that contains a rite of reconciliation. And essentially, the rite of reconciliation is for people who feel they need to speak to a pastor prior to receiving their own forgiveness. And the rite of reconciliation has an absolution. That's where the sins of the person are forgiven. And the pastor would conclude with these words and say that you were dead and are now alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go in peace. The Lord has put all your sins away. So here's the real question this morning. The one which puts the spiritual rubber to the road, so to speak. If God is like the father in the parable, lavishing his love, grace, forgiveness, and compassion on those who don't really deserve it, like us, what do you imagine we are called to do in our own lives? If you've been forgiven your failures by God, what do you think God expects you to do in return? So how would you respond to the people in your life Think of someone in your life who's done some things and you didn't like it. What do you think God expects you to do in that situation? How would you respond to the people in your life who haven't earned forgiveness and maybe don't deserve it? How do you embody the call to reconciliation? How should you be treating that individual? St. Paul, in our epistle reading for today, encourages us to be what he calls ambassadors of Christ. What's an ambassador of Christ? It's an agent of reconciliation. In our life, we're supposed to be reconciling people. Well, okay, let's think in terms of the parable. Who are you? Are you the selfish young man? Are you the resentful older brother? Or are you the one who strives to be like Christ and opens his arms to receive all who need forgiveness? Ask yourself a simple question. With whom do you need to be reconciled? I'll repeat that. With whom do you need to be reconciled in order to live into the higher calling of Christ, to be that ambassador of reconciliation? Well, when you go out of this church today, go out and do something about it. Go to that person who needs forgiveness and offer them forgiveness. Go to that person who you need forgiveness from and ask forgiveness from them. Be that ambassador for Christ, and bring the message of reconciliation down into your own life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. It is our prayer that this podcast is a blessing to you on your journey. For more information about All Saints, please visit us online at allsaintsdavenport.org. May God bless you this week and always.